He scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left!
Off the glass, to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yale, a shot. Save made by Yale. Aguila's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers.
All right, let's get it going. Happy Monday, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio at Steinberg, and Aaron Vickers back with us from NHL.com. Hi, Vic.
This is literally my 2025 debut.
It is.
I had to go back and check the schedule and everything, so I better up the current energy level I'm boasting right now.
That's right,
so I can bring it.
New Year's Eve was your last show.
It was. Yeah. And nobody make that like reverse joke that drives me up the wall.
I haven't seen you since last year.
Shan, I'm looking right at you.
We're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, and Seeker, wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Well, perhaps something many Flames fans have been clamoring for is on the verge of happening, or is already happening. Dustin Wolf going to make his fourth consecutive start Monday night in Chicago, kick off a four-game road trip. It's the first time all year a Flames goalie will start four games in a row. Now, there is a little nuance in there. Dan Vladar was going to be the starter last Wednesday in Los Angeles. Obviously, that game got postponed, so he didn't start that game. But yeah, Vladar can confirm, and not rocket science, but can confirm Vladar was going to be the goalie starting that night in Los Angeles, and then they were going to come back home and play LA again. That didn't happen, so that is partially the reason why we're looking at a fourth consecutive start for Wolf. But Ryan Huska, the head coach, did say a few weeks ago when he did a news availability or a media availability at home, he did say that they are starting to move towards, if a guy's rolling, then maybe he'll get a little bit more frequent playing time. Maybe they'll start to look at two starts and three. Maybe they'll start to look at rolling a guy a little bit more than they have been. Right now, that guy is Wolf, and this was the head coach Monday morning in Chicago.
He's earned it, and we talk about that a lot, and we mentioned it in Calgary a while ago, that if we can get someone on a bit of a run, then they're going to get a little bit more time in the net. So I thought he was excellent for us against LA. The first period was he got us through it, really, and allowed us to be in a position to win that game, so he deserved to go back in tonight.
He really was excellent against the Kings, especially as the coach says, in that first period. So a few things. First of all, and we can hit on these kind of individually, but Wolf deserves to get a little bit more runway here, the way that he's played. He is absolutely rolling right now. He was dynamite against Anaheim. He was great against Los Angeles. And I know there's a ton of people out there or some out there who believe he should just start every night and they should just start rolling him like they rolled Markstrom, or they should start rolling him like they rolled Kiprusoff. I don't think that is the right play either, because I do think managing his minutes and being part of a tandem has been part of why he's been able to be so successful. I truly do believe, and having talked to, you know, people who understand the position, even people in the organization who are involved with goaltending, the tandem idea and managing his starts and you know, putting him in spots to succeed has been part of why he's been so successful. But at some point, you got to take the reins off a little bit if he's rolling, right? I mean, if you've got this, if you're managing a racehorse and you're going through all these different things to make sure he's ready when it matters the most, well, now we're into the third quarter of the season. Now we're into the second half. And this probably is the time to maybe let the reins off and see what he can do with a little bit more of a larger workload.
Yeah, the term I would use is taking the training wheels off him a little bit, because he is still just a rookie netminder. He is still in his first... Okay, well, we can argue about it later off air. Clavicle. We don't need to really get clavicle. That is one of my favorite long-running jokes on... Not even long-running, but running jokes on this show now. I think we're getting close to the territory where it's fair to call this Dustin Wolf's net. As you mentioned, he's got three straight starts, is going to make a fourth. Yes, there's the caveat about the LA Kings start, and that was going to be a Dustin Wolf. And as you've mentioned, or Dan Vladar, pardon me. But as you mentioned, we haven't seen a goalie go four straight yet for the Flames, and we will see that Monday against the Chicago Blackhawks. But this goes longer than that. This is eight starts in the past 11 games for Dustin Wolf. And you want to talk about a run, 6-1-1 with a 1.98 goals against and a 9.30 save percentage. Dan Vladar's only started three games in the last 30 days. Granted, should have been four, but three. He's had three starts since December 13th. One of those was a back-to-back situation. We're starting to see the crease slide or tilt towards Wolf playing more, which is something that has been called upon from Flames fans everywhere since the start of the puck drop of the regular season. And I understand why they didn't do it then. I understand why you can do that now. This isn't necessarily Wolf's crease for the duration of the year. It's going to be sort of a hot hand situation. The fact of the matter remains, in 22 games Wolf has started, he's collected 30 of a possible 44 points. We can talk about the home road splits whenever we want and how it's so drastically different, but in 22 total games started, he's earned 30 of a possible 44 points. That's a 681 points percentage. It doesn't work this way because goalies aren't starting 82 anymore, but that extrapolates to 112 point pace for the Flames over an 82 game schedule in games Wolf has started.
But how much of that do you think is because they've managed his minutes?
There's no doubt they've managed his minutes. There's no doubt that the quality...
First of all, I'm not trying to take anything away from Dustin at all, by the way.
There's no doubt that the quality of competition, I think, for Vladar has been higher. So yes, those elements come into play. But if you're Dustin Wolf, all you can do is play the games you're given. And in those games, again, home road splits we can argue about, but the overall body of work, he's at a 681 points percentage, nabbing points for the Flames when he's between the pipes.
All I'm saying is that I just don't think going from basically an even split through 41 games to the net is yours, Dan Vladar is the backup, I don't think that that is necessarily the way to go either. Like, I still think starting, if you want to increase the workload for Wolf, I think that's important, and I think that's very fair. But I do think still being pretty intentional about where you put Vladar in and or when you don't put Wolf in, I still think that's a part of it in the final 41 games. I don't think this is 41 games to go and, you know, 35 of them are going to be Wolf's. I just, that to me, and that's what I continue to reiterate, and maybe some people want to strangle me as a result, but I just think that managing his minutes is a big reason why he's been able to have the success, and I don't think you throw that out in the second half of the season. That's the only point that I'll make.
No, and I'm not going to argue that he should get 35 of 41 remaining, but if he keeps giving you a 1.98 and a 9.30 like he has over his past eight starts, whether it's at home, whether it's on the road, you can still tilt it to a 65-35 percentage share, because at the end of the day, you're more worried about Wolf, and if he's showing that he's able to maintain that workload without a decrease in performance, that's the best case scenario for you if you're the Flames. And then you can more tailor things to how it's going to unfold next season when he's probably your de facto number one.
I don't know. I mean, you talk to Kevin Woodley?
No, I refuse to.
He's of the belief that 65% of the starts is a dinosaur thing now. Like, we're not going to be seeing that anymore in an NHL. Like, he really believes that you have your guy, but you still need to, whether it's a rookie like Dustin or a guy who is very established, like the Connor Hellebuck's.
Well, Hellebuck's played 34. He's at 34 starts in 41-ish games.
But my point is, guys like that are going by the way. Like, those guys don't exist very much anymore. And more as fatigue and playoff fatigue and late season fatigue, as they learn more about that, you know, a lot of goalie people believe that regular season tandems are probably the way that it's going to go going forward. And that's, again, I don't even know if I've made my point well in this case. I just think managing your goalie so that you get more out of him when he starts is still the most important thing. I still think Dan Vladar has a part to play in this down the road. I don't think this turns into a straight 1-2 situation where Vladar only starts on the second half of back-to-backs. That being said, I do think it's time to let the reins loose a little bit and see what Wolf can... Because here's the other thing. We don't know how Dustin performs, and I'm quite confident he'll perform well because I've got nothing but belief in this guy. it may come off like I don't, or I'm trying to, I got nothing but belief in this guy. I think the Flames have found one of their foundational players. I think this guy is, I guess, you know what my, worry's the wrong word, but I'm guarding against Devin Levi-ing him, or Carter Harting him, or, and Hart's a bad example because of the Hockey Canada stuff, but just hockey-wise, the way his trajectory went to begin, I just am still thinking big picture a little bit when it comes to how I'm using my goalies here in the second half of the season.
And this is an unfair sample size, but what if you're the Calgary Flames and you're 1.0 the second half of the stretch, you're flirting with that second wild card through the next 2 months of the season? Wouldn't you rather ride Wolf, who's given you more in his sample size?
It's like not, you would not, like, again, you're not, I'm not making my point very well, obviously, because it's not a, it's
not, there should be two elements here. I think is one, doing what's best for Wolf's development, which I think is what you're arguing or trying to argue. But two is also, you're in a results oriented business where you're flirting with a playoff spot. When you, I say this respectfully, I don't think anybody had the Flames on the radar through 41 games being this close to a playoff spot. So I do understand that there's a balance and you want to do what's best for Wolf's future development. But if he's also clearly your better goalie now, and your mandate is to try and push as close as you can to make the playoffs, that's going to lead to an uptick in starts for Wolf.
Even if you were to give him 2/3 of the starts down the way, that's still 14 starts for Dan Vladar between now and the end of the season. So that, and that, that's fine.
Okay, that's but that 65-35 split though we're basically talking
more
about.
More than that. Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to be as perfect as that, because if Vladar goes in Tuesday night, because I think that that's a fair assumption that he started in the second half of the back-to-back. I don't think we're at the point now where
we're not Kiprasoffing this, no.
But if Vladar goes in and posts a shutout against the Blues, you can bet he's starting Thursday against the Blues again. Like, I don't think that all of a sudden, like, no, you're the backup. You only play. Like, I still,
I understand you get hot
and you get on a roll thing, I still think applies to both guys.
Yep.
But right now, there's no doubt that Wolf is the better guy. And I do think letting the reins off a little bit is important. I just don't think you go from managing and being very deliberate with it through 41 games and then to saying, no, you know what, screw it. Wolf's the horse. He's the only guy that we're going to... That's the only thing that I'm saying here. Having said all that, I do think more playing time, he's earned it. And if they were to go 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 for the next little while to see how he deals with more of a workload in the NHL, which again, this is all new for him, I think that's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, for me, I'm more in favor of that 2 out of every 3, which is 66-34, if we're getting technical.
But you can't do it in perpetuity until you know how he's going to perform.
Here's the other element. Well, one, you've got to do it in terms of a discovery journey. But two, you've got 2 weeks off in the middle of February. Next month at this time, he'll be on a beach recharging the batteries. So it's not quite like the first half, the first 41, where it's an every second night sort of league. You do have a manage to give him an increased workload right up to that Four Nations break. And then you've got another month and a half-ish of what should be a refreshed, relaxed
Wolf. So are you just
of
the opinion that like they should just declare Nets his?
No. I mean, he still has to maintain his level of performance. If he somehow starts to perform at a 3.5 goals against and an .880 save percentage, then no, Dan Vladar is the better goalie.
We're kind of on the same page in a lot of ways.
I just want to argue with you today.
Well, it's more maybe, but we're kind of on the same page in that, yeah, for the time being, he should get more playing time until it's kind of determined, and maybe it isn't determined, that they need to make a change in philosophy. And I don't know. I think the confidence level that you have, that I have, that Flames fans have in number 32 is such that, you know, maybe that doesn't happen. And I don't think anybody would be surprised if all of a sudden it's 2 out of 3 in the second half of the season and his level doesn't dip. We don't know, because as goalie people always say, until you've done it, you haven't done it, and you got to see. But I think everybody is going to be pretty confident that he's going to be able to do it, because he is putting together a banger of a rookie season, and he's deserving of all the Calder Trophy love he's getting right now. I just wonder if, you know, in the first half of the season, if they don't split time and if they don't go out of their way to kind of put him in different spots if he's still at that 680 plus points percentage. If the workload, say it was 30 and 11 in the first half of the season, is it still that? If it is, well, the Flames are fighting for first place.
Yeah.
But and I have no idea if it would be, because we don't know, because it didn't happen. But my belief is managing him has been important to him having the high-end results he's had. That's really the only point I'm trying to make.
And that one I won't fight you on, because there is something to be said about the load management and making sure both goalies are as close to 100%, the gas tank is close to full as possible, and two...
And it's less about Vladar on that front. It's
that
more
part
about
is,
Wolf, you know?
But on the flip side, it's getting him into spots and starts where you can see him succeed, so you don't end up building up one bad start, then two bad start. Like, it is a little bit about the quality of competition that you're giving to as well.
Francesca, maybe this will help me make my point. I love this text. Text line's open at 960-960. You know when you're baking cookies and you take them out of the oven, they're supposed to be a little underbaked so they can finish baking on the counter before you put them on the cooling rack? It's kind of like that. Don't give into the urge to rush to take them off the baking sheet before they're ready, or they might fall apart. That's my point is, I don't think there is a rush to just go from managing in the first half to reins are gone, you're playing every game unless it's a back-to-back or unless you're hurt. And I don't think it needs to be, and I don't think that's what you're suggesting either. I just don't think it needs to be as crazy as a pivot like that. And yet, through all that, I think that the increase in playing time is deserving. We'll see. Like, do they go 2-2 on this road trip, or do they go 3-4? I don't think he's getting all four, but does he go Chicago, St. Louis, Winnipeg, or does Vladar get one of those other games in there, because he's obviously going to start the first game against the Blues on Tuesday?
I mean, it's still dictated to a certain degree by performance, but I don't think we need to do the shutout rule anymore when it comes to Dustin Wolf, where you get to keep going.
I agree 100%.
Like, if he continually turns in one goal against, two goal against performances where he's got north of a 920 save percentage, like, the bar for earning a second consecutive start, to me, has moved away from being a shutout to just being however you want to personally define it, however the Flames define it internally as a quality start. Then I think that's when you start stacking.
And I do wonder, and this is something that I don't know, but I do wonder when, and this is something that I do think is going to improve over time, but when you've got, you mentioned, like, don't talk about the road home splits, but 936 at home, 879 on the road. I wonder if they are heavier on his starts at home still, and maybe a little bit less so on the road. That's another thing I wonder if they even manage that at all.
I personally wouldn't take that approach, just simply because you want him to take what he's learned through the first half of playing road games and seeing if he's able to apply things or make adjustments to see if he's going to find more success on the road in the second half. Because all this is, and what we've been talking about this whole time, is basically the debate we're having, or the season as a whole for Dustin Wolf is a learning experience.
I think it's a conversation.
The conversation we're having is, this is all a learning experience for Dustin Wolf. So let's use the second half, the back half of the season, to see whether or not you've been able to take the lessons learned from the first half and apply it from January onward to the end of the regular season. Now, having said that, again, is I don't force him starts on the road, because, again, you still have to earn it with performances, but I don't necessarily shy away and front load or home load the work body of work that he has to do, just because he hasn't had necessarily that rousing success on the road.
Interesting text coming in. This from Shubes, who says, I think it's important for Wolf to get a start against a couple quote unquote good teams. Would love to see him get the start against Winnipeg. And that part they've definitely started to maybe let off on a little bit. Like, he got the start against Los Angeles. I know that he has gotten the first halves of the back to backs, but that's kind of the role as the 1A. Like, if you've established yourself as the better guy, which he has, you earn the first half of the back-to-backs. Matt and Cochran says, Pat waving the flag hard for Vladar for some reason reminds me of the Simpsons episode where they go to Australia. My Simpsons references are bad, but I'm not waving the flag for Vladar. That has almost nothing to do with it. And this sounds harsh. It could be anybody else. It's not about Vladar at all. This is all about Wolf for me. I am just so big because of my belief for this guy and how crazy stupid goaltending is, this guy to me is one of their two or three franchise players. Like they, to me, I think they found a franchise player. To me, I think they found their franchise goalie. And so I want to do everything in my power to not F it up. And I don't want to all of a sudden see them not manage it properly in year one in the NHL. And then all of a sudden it does go awry like a lot of other young goalies, like a Mackenzie Blackwood or a Carter Hart or a Devon Levi. And it takes time for them to get back. Like, sometimes those derailments last 2-3 years, and I don't want to see that. So that is the only reason why I continue to have this conversation, because the big picture is still the most important thing in my eyes when it comes to Wolf, because I do think we're talking about, you talk about your franchise hallmarks and you got to have two or three franchise guys to build a cup contender with. Well, they have one, I think. And I just feel like doing everything in your power to manage that properly as a rookie is still important. And maybe that makes me, maybe people think I'm overthinking it. Maybe people think that I am not giving him enough credit to deal with it. This has nothing to do with Vladar. We could be talking about Wes Gilbertson as
the other
goalie.
I'd rather not talk about him.
I just think that continuing to keep his long-term in mind, that can't be thrown out the window. That's all.
And I just think, to again, continue this conversation, I think you have an opportunity with how the schedule sets up, that if he proves that he can maintain his level of performance, and that's both, you know, the metrics that we have available, the advanced analytics we have available, but also the vitals that the Calgary Flames will track in each individual player to ensure that, okay, he's still getting the results, but suddenly the reserves are down to 85% or 80%. No, you've got to take that into consideration. You're not going to overexert your 23-year-old potential starting goalie as a result. But if he shows that he can handle everything and maintain a high level of play, maintain a high level of readiness,
sure,
let him buck.
I like the word that you used, or the term you used earlier, like, and you were talking specifically about the road, but like, don't force it. You've got another guy that isn't at the same level, but can still go in and give you a decent enough opportunity to win a hockey game. Don't force it. So many people are talking about the long term and don't be focused just on this season. Well, then shouldn't we not just be focused on this season when it comes to Wolf? Like, I do think there's a big time balance they got to strike there. That's all.
I mean, I can see the temptation of those playoffs. They're knocking on the door by points percentage they're in. And
I don't care. I don't. Like, that can't be the only thing you're worried about in year one.
No, but again, to go round and round and round in a circle, if his play doesn't dip and his vitals don't dip, have at it.
That I agree with.
And thank you.
That, just don't force it, is the main point.
Right.
For me.
I concur. You can't be doing this if you're seeing 880 save percentage and suddenly all your internal metrics show that his gas tank's at 75% full.
This says, boys, I'm a diehard Wings fan. I feel like Stevie Y is doing similar things with Sebastian Casa. Dude's an absolute stud and could probably be playing in the NHL, but they're preparing him properly, and I like it like that. Jordan in Vancouver says, I know you guys have been talking a lot about the goaltending split, but did you see that Athletic article? They had Wolf ranked in tier 4 of goalies. I understand he hasn't had a huge majority of starts, and maybe that's part of it, but he's clearly a much better goalie than that. For comparison, they have Georgiev, Mrazek, Fedotov in tier 4, and he's also below Stuart Skinner. No offense to that Athletic article. That hasn't entered into my thought process at all.
I haven't seen it, and I wonder how much of it is reputation-based, because Dustin Wolf simply doesn't have the sample size to run with the upper echelon, even though the stats are starting to show that he is currently doing it this season.
This from Heath. Would you just let the boy play, Pat? Some guys need to be coddled, but this Wolf kid's a different cat. Interesting. He can handle it just fine. He's a hockey player. I would say it for over a year, let the kid play. That sounds like very similar to like what a Brent Cron would be saying, or other people. And I could be completely out to lunch when it's all said and done, but I just am doing everything in my power to make sure this guy does turn into the franchise piece that I think he's going to be. Sean in Auburn Bay says, don't force it and stay the course. Stick to the plan and don't overreact to the standings. This from Hacksaw Boys to me, either you're a real contender to win the cup or you should be trying to get the best draft pick you can. Playing the crap out of Wolf is a bad plan since the Flames aren't a serious cup contender. What else we got here at 960? That's just, I wanted to read this one as well. Andrew says, good afternoon, gents. I still fear the Flames organization focusing too much on Wolf and his longer-term development as opposed to near-term marketability of Ladar. If Wolf and Devin Cooley are the long-term goal, why do they continue to give Ladar the tough end of the back-to-back? Is it clearly not hurting his marketability at the trade deadline? This goes back to what I said earlier. This has nothing to do or very little to do with Vladar. This is all about, and I'm not concerned myself about starts for Vladar and his trade marketability like that. And this is no disrespect to Andrew, but in my mind, that is 0% of the argument. Vladar walking away in unrestricted free agency or being re-signed or whatever, like that to me still has nothing to do with where my head's at on Dustin Wolf and going forward with how they use him here down the second half of the season.
No, and the rest of the league has a big enough body of work on Dan Vladar, whether it be pre or post hip surgery, where if suddenly between now and the trade deadline you give him 10 starts, it's not necessarily going to affect the value of what he's available or what teams are willing to pay for him on the open market. Sorry, you distracted me with that thing.
The more he starts, the more I can whip out my...
You know what? I'm all for moderation here. I'm all for moderation. Mostly of that trigger, but...
Okay. We're underway, and Aaron Vickers is on Twitter at AA Vickers. My name is Pat Steinberg. We didn't even talk about...
Poor guy.
Poor Rory Cairns. Congratulations. NHL debut Monday night for Rory Cairns. And doing it two ways. Like, I love the soft landing spot. Knowing that this is probably going to be the way it was going to go, I don't mind them holding him out for one against that Kings group and then putting him in against Chicago. I know it's on the road, but I like the softer landing spot. I like where they're putting him. They're not, and maybe they flip-flop Sharon Govich and Cairns at center at some point, but Sharon Govich is going to center Cairns on the left and Pelche on the right. I think that's a nice place for him to get into. And let's see what the kid can do. And if it's not great tonight, let's see what he can do in his next game. One game does not make Rory Cairns' NHL career. Let him get a few games. See how he does. Be patient. And you know what? After six or seven games, if it's like, yeah, this probably isn't it, that's fine too. He can go back to the American League without waivers, and he will have learned a valuable lesson as to what the NHL is all about that'll make him better in the long term. If that's what happens, awesome. And if it works out that all of a sudden he's able to translate his game to the NHL effectively, even better, and maybe they found gold. Already Rory Cairns has exceeded 99% of what sixth-round picks do. Good on him. By becoming the impact player in his American League career, he's already exceeded a vast, vast majority of sixth-round picks, and now he's making his NHL debut. Whatever happens, nobody takes that solo lap away from him. He's earned this. He deserves it. But let's be patient and see what he's all about. And if it's not ready now, that's okay. They gave him the opportunity like he earned. And if he's not ready, he'll be more ready next time because he'll learn a lot playing in the NHL. And if he is ready, that's awesome. That's found money.
He's already exceeded expectations, as you mentioned, of a sixth-round pick. He's already exceeded the expectations that I think the organization had on him coming into the season where, keep in mind, he didn't get a preseason game in. He looked good in Penticton. I don't think I saw necessarily this coming on the radar, you know, leading the American Hockey League in goals at time of call-up. But to your point, yeah, let's not get too excited one way or the other. Scores a hat trick tonight, don't get too excited. He has no points and plays 8 minutes, don't get too excited that way either. It's long runway to go, but you got to tip your cap to Rory Cairns for putting himself in this situation this quickly.
Steinberg and Vickers, this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.